Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Don Alarico and Bob Corman, and this is Business Kid Academy. Welcome to our 30-minute kids entrepreneurial educational call, talking to parents and kids about the entrepreneurial mindset. Today, we continue learning and our discussion about the five E's of business with Bob Corman, the author of the book, The Five E's of Business Success. Our call-in number is 646-668-8875. Give us a call if you have any questions. Welcome, Bob, this morning.
Hey, John. Hi, John. I was just speaking to somebody named John, so John. Hey,
well,
John.
Good.
Yeah,
I didn't even.
We're doing good. It's a little rainy. It's a little rainy in South Florida, but that's not bad. But I understand that you've got a lot of rain out there.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of rain the last couple of days, and everything just soggy. It's been snow and rain and snow, and it doesn't know what to do yet. And it's supposed to be sunshiny, but we'll see what happens there. Hey, Bob, last week we talked about, we've just simply been covering some of the concepts in the book that you wrote, The Business Ease of Business Success. And we're trying to help the parents understand a little bit more about what it takes for them to be able to teach their kids to be an entrepreneur and at least get it in their mindset, you know, get it in the head that it's not just simply about going to school, getting good grades, and then going to college and then getting out. Because sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, all that does is leaves them with a big debt and a job at McDonald's. Not such a good thing.
Yeah, well, they talked about there's a trillion dollars in debt. And for college loans among young people, and for some of them, it's preventing them from houses and everything else. Of course, there's no reason, you know. I mean, college is definitely, you know, education could never be a waste. But sometimes you gotta always look at what your options are and you know what you want to do. And even colleges now are starting to teach entrepreneurial courses, by the way. So they've recognized a lot of things. And I saw something that was very interesting, Don, in one of the articles I was reading. It's employment and wages among U.S. men by education. It just that, you know, I'm sure women follow a similar pattern. But what they basically did is they went back from 1970 and or 78, I guess I got it. No, 70. I had to get my glasses out. and the share of employment for high school graduates. Remember, there's still not everybody goes to college. Not everybody wants to go to college. But the share employed went from 89% in 1970. To 69% in 2017, a decline of 22%, and
wow.
the pay also went down, and even went down for college students. It went down over 20 points for high school students and 5 points for college students. So what it kind of tells you is, and it tells you that a lot of the jobs that we had in the 70s or previously to that, where, you know, you had strong unions, you had automobile industry, you had a lot of industry where people didn't necessarily need college. What it says is that, you know, those jobs are going away.
Yeah.
And the jobs where, you know, like when I worked for Kennecott Copper Corporation years ago, I was in the corporate office and worked in the finance group. And, you know, when I go out to the properties to visit the mines, you know, a lot of people will tell me, you know, my grandfather worked here and my dad worked here and I'm working here. And they expected to be employed in pretty decent jobs for the rest of their lives. I mean, you know, they just thought that this would always be. But there's been such a drastic change. You know, some of it's what I call the Wall Street effect, which has is like a double-edged sword. Some of it, a lot of industries are going overseas. So anyway, the point is that for those people who think they're going to get a job, whether college or no college, and somehow that's going to be a great career for the rest of their lives, they need to really rethink. It could be, but they need to really rethink the fact that times are changing. And when you can build your own business and, you know, you have control over your livelihood, and that's not a small thing. So I just thought that statistic was, it kind of illustrates what a lot of people know, but when you see it in numbers, it really hits home.
Yeah. Another thing I would like to bring up is one of the things that Senator Stephen Thane here is an Idaho senator. And for about 14 years, he's been working on a project which basically, you know, Idaho was considered in the lowest part of the percentile in the nation. Yet in the last 3 years, what they've come up, and Idaho is in the top five states. And they're looking to get to top number one within the next 3 years. But that's of kids that are testing for college ready out of high school. In other words, what they're doing is they call it advanced education, and the state actually pays for it. They pay $4,125 per student that they can take college courses and get ready courses for college in starting, you know, in the seventh grade, where they pull eighth grade classes forward in the ninth grade, so that in actually the junior and senior high school, they can be doing pure college based exams. But here's the real kicker. This year, they just passed a bill, and that's happening in legislature right now, that they've expanded that to not just college, but career technical education.
That's very forward thinking. And I think, and I know, of course, I know Stephen and Thane, Senator Thane, and he's really such a force for good in terms of education. And I think, you know, and the bottom line is what they're doing. You know, we all talk about, oh, our kids are our future, our kids are kids. But he's putting the state's money where the mouth is. And a lot of states don't do that. They talk about it. They talk a good game. But the schools are falling apart. That's why you're seeing teacher strikes, you know, all over. Low pay and you know, bad conditions. So I think Idaho is showing the way. And I've always said in life and in business, I know this is very difficult to people to understand, but if you're going to follow a model, follow somebody, you want to follow somebody that's being successful. Sometimes I wonder.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I tell you, you know, that, like I say, the thing that he's always thought and said, he says education should be for the kids. It shouldn't be that the teacher gets, you know, more money, shouldn't go to get paid better teachers and get computer labs. I mean, he says that's there. He says, but somewhere along the line, the kids have got to be able to have some of that money. And that's one of the things that, you know, he's thought about.
Right. And to the credit, I think, of some teachers, you know, they do talk about class size. Many of them, you know, put their own money into things. So I think there's different sides to each story. And then, for example, when you talk about a teacher in New York City, a teacher in San Francisco, they just can't live. They can't live. And, you know, so there's a lot of problems, of course, you know, across the board. But I think putting money into education, I think, is a good is you know, you can't go, you know, that really is showing a lot of respect, you know, for the young people, putting the money where the mouth is. And as a matter of fact, when I was out there, we did a class on the 5E's with Miss O'Malley, Malley's class, high school mm-hmm. students, and we're looking at doing more of that because, you know, high school is not too early for young people to start really thinking about their options in life. Not too early.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And see, that's the other thing is that course, the course that was there and that whole complex that you were able to visit and be there, that was part of a technical education, mm-hmm. which Senator Thain is the chairman of the board of the mm-hmm. of that particular thing. So here's the thing is even at that, you know, he just finished writing another book. It's called The ABCs of Math. And in that book, he talks mm-hmm. about the need for about 1,000 hours of math instruction from the mm-hmm. parents to the kids. And so basically he goes and talks about that. Well, on that same note, that's what we're talking about, is that if you want a child to, you know, grow up with the idea and the fact or the, you know, the idea that they can actually be a business owner, that they can actually be an entrepreneur, and which, you know, you've got to be able to teach that. You've got to be able, the parents need to talk about it. And so if the parents don't understand it, that's what these calls, and that's what we talk about, is the fact that how do you teach your kids to be an entrepreneur? How do you teach them that spirit, that sort of thinking? And so that's kind of the whole crux of these calls, is empowering our children or our child mm-hmm. as, or your child as an entrepreneur. And so it's not something that, you know, they want to wake up one day and decide, gosh, I'm going to be entrepreneurish. You know, being an entrepreneur is the result. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think we talked about the fact, obviously, how you approach it is age dependent, you know, of course, with young people. But with children at a younger age, we just talked about the fact that, you know, you have teachers, but parents are still the number one teacher. And they teach a lot of things. And I guess what Thain was mentioning is that, you know, parents maybe need to be a little more involved in their child's education at home, helping them with homework and other things. Also, I think it becomes priority. You know, I know, you know, everybody's life is busy and it's often difficult, but you have to have a priority to spend that good time, you know, with your kids. And I think the other thing we talked about, Don, was, again, age dependent, but it's confidence. I mean, a lot of confidence. You know, you have to encourage kids to be, you know, that they could do things, that they have to feel confident. And that's something you have to be very conscious of. Skills. A parent has to be very observant as to a young person as their skills emerge. You know, they don't wake up, you know, at 1 year old, you can't necessarily, they're not going to get up and play a piano, but you have to be, you know, you have to watch how their skills emerge, and you have to encourage, how do we cultivate that? And
yeah,
cultivate your
absolutely.
Interest in things. You have to cultivate interest, you know, where, you know, what activities. So it's a matter of helping them follow their passion. I mean, I see so many cases of people who think back and they say, you know, I became a physicist because I had somebody at a young age, I had a great physics teacher who just, you know, it just made me so interested, it's so enthralling that I decided to pursue the course. So you never know how you're going to impact a young person later
yeah.
in life. But you have to be able to show them things let them think through project. We talked a little bit about that too. Give them a little project. And again, I know we're harping on it, but even if it's a matter of a sleepover, you know, let the young person plan that sleepover. How many people are coming over? What are we going to eat? It doesn't sound like much, but you're getting them in the habit when they have something, thinking through, okay, how am I going to make this successful? Exactly. It's a process. Exactly.
You, absolutely. And see, it's funny that you mention, you know, they don't just at 1 year of age just wake up and decide to play the piano. But that was kind of this weekend, this last weekend. I usually take my grandkids on the weekend and have them so that they can, you know, be here, be around us. And I think about, you know, things and what they're interested in. And it was funny, my grandson, he's just 2 years old. He knows that I've got this piano out in the garage. And the piano is one I decided last year. I says, gosh, you know, I want to start learning how to play the piano here. I'm, you know, 59 years old. And I thought, gosh, I'd really like to learn sometime. So I went and got a piano. This lady was giving it away, and she said, just come and take it away. And so I did. So we brought it here home, and there it is. And the kids have played on it, and I really thought that my granddaughter would be the one. But over the weekend, my grandson, you know, he points, you know, out to the garage. He says, garage, you know, garage. And I go, well, what do you want to see? And so we go out there, and he wants to play the piano. And so he probably 15
and, you
minutes.
Know, and that's a big clue. And you know, we always talk about the parents, but you bring up another wonderful point on sometimes grandparents could be in as good or if not better position to do those things, because in many cases they're not as burdened, you know, they're not as burdened time-wise with other things. So sometimes grandparents could also be a very big part of teaching. And also you say, wow, you know, my grandson really likes the piano, and now you have to start to think about how do I bring that out? How do I cultivate that? How do I start to move that, you know, forward? And again, that goes back to the role, you know, as a teacher.
Yeah, but absolutely. See, the thing of it is, you know, I mean, I could have easily just put him off and said, no, or let him touch it and say, you know, we're done. Right. I let him play as long as he was willing to play. I would do the keys, you know, with one hand, then the other. Mm-hmm. And he would try to imitate it. And that was what, you know, it really worked. I think parents need to do that.
So his interest and skills are starting to emerge. And I think by having him improve over time, by, you know, at some point maybe getting him, like they have a lot of very, very creative toys these days that are electronic. You know, we used to have the old pickup sticks. There was nothing electronic about pickup sticks. And the old director set pieces and screws. But now they have a lot of electronic things that can help for musicals. So you're starting to see interest and talent emerge, and encouraging that and praising it and you know, and giving them a successful experience to move forward. So, I just thought about that as far as grandparents. Now, you're lucky because you have your grandchildren close to you. A lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people move away. So that's a great opportunity. And it's for both you, because you enjoy it, and your grandchildren.
Yeah. But like you say, it's a matter of what, you know, not only parents, but grandparents, taking the time. And I know parents sometimes are under heavier burdens than are the, you know, than grandparents. But it's something that they can, you know, you have to look at. And that's all we're talking about, is empowering
and
the child.
Exactly. And also, you know, as the people, you know, get older and obviously, you know, go to school and become more, you know, more skilled and more aware of things, you know, you might do things like if you have a relative or maybe just a friend who has a business, maybe you can have your son or daughter, you know, again, age dependent, maybe you could have them go in there for a few weekends. Watch. Just look at what's going on. You know, when I was a kid, my dad had an electric motor shop. He used to repair motors that we used for washing machines and all kinds of things. And, you know, and when I was a kid, I used to go in and I used to help him take the copper out of the motors, you know, when he had to rewind it so we could sell it. So I was kind of around that environment when I was a kid. I didn't sit there and think about it, but I was around that environment. So sometimes you could try through friends or other people to have your young people maybe spend a little time there. They can make themselves useful, you know, stacking something or if it's a manufacturing. I used to sweep the floors on Friday, you know.
Yeah.
I sweep the floors a lot.
Yeah.
But I was around that environment. And so that's another thing we can do as the young people get a little older. You could start to find people who can just let them come in on a weekend and
sure.
help out and see, just get that feeling about how satisfying it could be to really have control, you know, of your own destiny and your own fate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's I think another thing that as we as adults, or whether it's parents or grandparents or just mentors to other people, is when people come in like that, be patient with them, because they're not going to do it exactly the way you want it done the first time, maybe the second time. Might take them 10 times, might take them, you know, I mean, it's a practice. It's something that they're learning to do. And that's what, you know, like say with my grandson, it was fun just to watch him try to imitate the way I was doing it. You know, he sees something and he's trying to make his motor skills do the same thing. Well, that's the way people are too. You know, there's depends on what it is, and it may take them. They might make mistakes, but don't get mad at them. Don't get, you know, upset. That's not the way you do it. You know, make it fun, make it enjoyable. If they are not quite doing it right,
it's like we make a lot of investments, and really, investment in young people, the biggest investment you can give them is your time, candy, not the McDonald's, you know, on Saturday morning. The biggest thing you could give them is your time, your guidance, and ongoing support. That's the number one thing you could give them. And I think you just have to say this is a priority, and I know you do, Don. You take certain times, and whether it's a weekend, that I know you just say, "Look, I'm going to spend time with my grandchildren," and that's what you have to do. You know, you can't be pushed out. You can't let the thing of the moment, you know, push you out of time, because then you kind of say, "Well, I'll do it tomorrow." Well, we know what that means, right? Tomorrow. So, but that again is not to discourage academics. It's not to discourage college. It's just to, you know, because you know, I mean, a college education can be great preparation for an entrepreneur. So it's not to discourage that, but it's not to say, but not everybody is meant to be, you know, go to college. Not everybody is meant to be that. And you talked about Senator Thain, and he's really going, you know, people see something new, and now he's making an investment in trade schools and different kinds of things, but we're really just going back to it. It's not new, because when I grew up, we had trade schools in New York. We had the, you know, aeronautic, we had auto schools, we had those schools. So really, we kind of forgot them on the basis that, you know, everybody ought to go to college. And now I think we're going back and saying, well, maybe that's not for everybody. And the other thing that I read about you know, I do a lot of reading on different things, is, you know, some of these situations where college graduates, they envy their auto repair technician, because they say this person's always got a job. He makes decent money.
Yeah.
He's always got a job, and I'm always worried about my job. He's never going to run out of stuff to do because he fixes cars.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that I think is the key to what we're discussing, what we're talking about empowering our children, and that's as an entrepreneur, is the fact that we as adults have got to take a look at what it is that we're saying. With, you know, I know that if a person's saying, you know, go to school, get good grades, get a degree, then get a job, you know, that's one line of thought. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the correct line of thought. And that's what we as parents, as well as kids, when they get old enough, is they got to decide, okay, what are my skills? What are my options? What do I really like doing? And then work toward that end. So
that goes back to cultivating at a younger age over time. That goes back to cultivating time, cultivating their interests, cultivating their skill sets. And, you know, that goes back to that type of thing. And over time, it'll evolve into, you know, and then at some point, they're going to start to think more about themselves. Over time, you start to pass kind of control of those decisions from a parent to the child or to the youth as they start to pursue their own careers. But, you know, it's exciting. You know, we talk about it. It could really be exciting. And too often it doesn't have to be just the pain in the neck. Oh, I thought he was, you know, I here he is again asking me for something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, Bob, thanks for, 30 minutes really goes quickly. And
sure does.
I hope that, you know, the individuals can take some key points from what we've talked about and realize that, you know, it's the result of the influence of the parents, friends, environment, and the right kind of schooling that can help an individual do so. My suggestion is there's some great courses that Bob, you happen to be the author of. And that would be 5EZBIZ.com, 5EZBIZ.com. And take a look and get the information. There's some workbooks that help an individual understand the 5 E's of business success. So thanks for being with us today, Bob. Any other last 30 seconds of comments?
No, just I think, again, it's a mindset. And sometimes it may seem like we're a little repetitious, but, you know, sometimes you need that repetition to understand how important it is. And you have to just get your mindset to functioning, to how you bring your young people along in life.
Okay. Super. Appreciate it. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. And those on the recorded call, this is Don Allen Rico and Bob Corman with Business Kids Academy. Make your day great and keep on dreaming. Bye for now. Thanks. Business Kids Academy is a production of Q Ford Productions, copyright 2019, Sabre Mountain Incorporated, all rights reserved.